So as we get started from your homes, as usual, per every time I get up, I'm going to ask you to stand at your home. So stand up for a minute as we read the words, a very short text, as you can see, a very short text from Luke 11, verses 1 and 2. Luke 11, 1 and 2. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say." And we'll stop right there. Let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment in time. Lord, we thank you for the gift of technology. And Lord, in this uncertain time, we know that we are still together as one, and we are thankful for this. Lord, I pray in this moment, our hearts and minds are open to what your word and your spirit will do in us. Lord, may they transform us more into your image. Lord, may you take any fear, may you take any anxiety, may you take any grief, may you take any despair. Lord, we pray that you take that from us in this moment and you fill us with your peace and your love. Watch over us in this time. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. Now, I know this worship service isn't ideal. I mean, I wish you were here with me, and I could see all of your smiling faces. It's what I miss. I miss your smiling faces. I miss your warm hugs. We won't be doing that for a while. I miss the great handshakes. We won't be doing that for a while either. But I miss your laughter and your stories and your jokes. It's just not the same not having Richard Wilson here making fun of me. I wish I could hear from each of you how you spent your spring break and all the amazing experiences that you had. But I don't want you to worry, and I don't want you to fear, because we're going to be back together soon. If we can just bear down for a little while, if we can listen to the experts, if we can listen to the medical experts around us, then I believe this will pass. But it's not going to pass today. It's not going to pass today, and it may not pass for the next few weeks. But in the next few weeks, we will be spending a lot of quality time with our families. And hopefully this will be a good time for you and your family to come closer, to become tighter as a family. Maybe you'll be like my wife last night and put a puzzle together. Maybe you'll read a good book, or if you're the Weatheralls, you'll read a lot of books. Maybe you'll watch a show on TV. Guess what? Disney Plus just released Frozen 2 for all you who are wondering. So maybe you'll watch a good TV show. Or maybe you'll just take a few walks in the open air, because you can do that. All the while, I want you to still be washing your hands frequently. I want you to be keeping an appropriate distance away from one another. I want you to monitor your health. And I want you to stay away from others who are feeling sick. And these things, while they may seem tedious, and you might even think they're a bit overboard right now, I want you to think of it this way. In doing this, in following these steps, in following these hygiene procedures, in following even these social distancing procedures, you are living out the words of Jesus when he tells us to love our neighbor. We're not just doing this for you, but you're doing this for the person next to you. You're doing this for your neighbor. You're doing this for our church members. This is why we do this. And I'm reminded of this as what Stanley Hauerwas said, and he said this. He said, "Jesus was a teacher whose life taught what he preached. We love and follow Jesus not simply because of what he said, but because of the way he lived, the way he died, and was resurrected." Jesus did not ask us to agree with him. He asked us to follow him. And what we're seeing is this can be a very difficult journey. We're seeing this, how difficult this is right now. When fear and panic seem to be driving the stories, it's easy to fall in line with what is being said. It's easy to be scared. It's also easy to lean the other direction and blow it all off, to become callous to what is being said. And this is where we struggle with the narrative of which one do we listen to and which one do we believe. And this is why I think our conversation over the next few weeks, which will lead us into Easter, when hopefully we'll be all together again, is appropriate for this moment. I entitled this series Radical Words for a reason, because for the next 6 weeks, we'll be looking at and praying together as a church family weekly the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And I know I started with Luke 1 and 2, and there's a reason for that, but over the next 6 weeks, we'll be praying together the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, it's probably not unfamiliar to you sitting at home and to me. And like me, you probably have prayed this prayer many times and maybe even prayed this prayer before certain events. I can remember leading my high school baseball team in the Lord's Prayer before and after each game. In fact, my coach, as we would start the game out, he would just point to me and say, "Preacher, lead us in the prayer." And that's what I would do. I would lead in the Lord's Prayer. Therefore, because of this, because the Lord's Prayer is so prevalent, there are many who do not follow the Christian faith or even believe in Jesus, yet they know the Lord's Prayer. However, when we, disciples of Jesus, pray this prayer, we are doing something more than just praying before a baseball game or after a baseball game. We're doing something more than just uttering some words out of our mouth that we've heard so many times that we memorized. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're doing something that is forming us, that is shaping us in a particular way. When the disciples in Luke 11 verse 1 says this, they say, "Lord, teach us." They're asking Jesus for guidance in prayer. And when they're asking Jesus for guidance in prayer, notice they ask a question. Teach us to pray. And don't let that go unnoticed. When you read the Lord's Prayer, when you read beginning before the Lord's Prayer, don't let it go unnoticed that they asked him a question. The disciples have seen Jesus and the way he goes about his daily life. In fact, we'll notice in verse 1 it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And throughout the life of Jesus, we notice that from time to time that Jesus goes away. He goes away to pray. And the disciples have noticed this. The disciples have noticed that Jesus has gone away. He goes by himself to pray. They've noticed his life patterns. And what the disciples want to do is they want to implement those same patterns into their own lives. And so they say, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. For them, prayer had a specificity to it. Prayer, whatever prayer this was, the prayer would identify them as followers of Jesus. It would identify the disciples with a certain kind of teacher. So the Lord's Prayer, as Justo Gonzalez says, so the Lord's Prayer is also the prayer of the disciples of the Lord, the prayer by which these disciples are formed and which serves as the mark of their identity. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are not speaking just hollow words. As the disciples of Jesus, we are speaking words that are not just to give us good luck for a baseball game. They are words with power. They are radical words. They are words, a prayer that will differentiate us from everyone else. It is a prayer that says we are the followers of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Prayer teaches us not just to pray, but it teaches us how to pray. And not just how to pray, but also how we experience and treat the world around us. Think about this. From the Lord's Prayer, we are given a radical way to see and encounter the creation around us. When we pray this prayer, and for the next 6+ weeks, we will pray this prayer as a community. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we will see Jesus infusing within us, infusing within his disciples, a reminder, but not just a reminder. It is a, when we pray it, it is a reminder to us that we live for a calling, that we are called as a community to be formed into the life of Jesus. Within this prayer, when we pray it together, and as we pray it, I hope you notice, we will see a worldview centered on God's good work within the world, God's graciousness within the world. We will notice that we are dependent, that there is a dependence on God from the disciple. And we will notice, as we've already seen, that as we pray this prayer, it will form us into a way of becoming more like Jesus, to imitate Jesus. Jesus says, when you pray, say. And as we experience the Lord's Prayer, and as we pray the Lord's Prayer, what we notice is that a lot of this doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy to remember that we live within God's graciousness. It doesn't come easy for us to remember that we're dependent on God and not ourselves. Because being like Jesus, I think as we're seeing now, being like Jesus is no ordinary task. Especially like this week when we go to the store and we see the long lines. When we see what people are, and I'll use the word hoarding, in their shopping carts. Knowing that we could use some of that toilet paper right now. Or we could use some of the food that's in their cart. It's easy for us in that moment to judge, to despise, and probably even to mumble a few choice words under your breath. All of this is easy. It's easy to get so focused on ourselves that we can look at everyone else and begin to think of them in a certain way. It becomes an us versus them idea. So how do we combat that? How do we combat the way that we see people in this moment, in this week, with everything that's going on? How do we combat us from being skewed so much that we despise others? How do we combat this way of seeing others? How do we combat this way of being in the world? The answer is this. It's through discipline. It will take discipline. It will take us learning and being formed into the way of Jesus. A radical way of living in the world. Remember, it'll take us remembering that there are others who are afraid and who are hurting and who are scared in this moment. The text that we read implies that prayer is a learned practice. We see that, right, with the disciples. Teach us to pray. That this is a learned practice of us becoming more and more like Jesus. And so through the Lord's Prayer, we'll allow our posture to change. We'll give ourselves over to the Spirit to be formed in a new way. When we say today, teach us, Lord, how to pray, teach us, Lord, how to live in a world that feels chaotic and out of control. I read a statement the other day, and it caught my attention because it said something to this effect. It said, we are learning through all of this that the control we perceived that we had was just that. It was all perceived. We believed that we were in control, and we're finding out we're not as in control as we thought. The Lord's Prayer reminds us that we're not in control as a disciple of Jesus. The Lord's Prayer, as we pray, it reminds us that who we are dependent on is not ourselves, but on the graciousness and love of the Father. The Lord's Prayer is a formative discipline that teaches us that we were never in control. And Jesus invites us to see a world in which the Father is at work in the world, which is good news in a moment that feels like all we're reading is bad news. The Lord's Prayer tells us that the Father is at work in the world. And in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the uncertainty, and in the midst of the fear, the Lord's Prayer tells us and reminds us and opens us up to the idea that God is present. These are radical words when we pray them. You may not have realized that. You may have gotten used to just saying them and mumbling them without thinking about it. But for the next 6-plus weeks, as you say them, I want you to meditate on them. I want them to form in you something new, because these are radical words. They are no ordinary words. They will be our guide in these days to come and these weeks to come. It will be the words that will form us to live toward God and toward others in this moment. So my hope is that you let these words, you let this prayer be a comfort to you. In these moments, we're not in this by ourselves. And so at your homes, I ask you to read Matthew 6, 9 through 13, that you read with me and with each other and with everybody else online, that you read these words of the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And as most of us know how to end it, for thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let this prayer guide you this week. Let these radical words that you spoke just now form you this week. And so my challenge starting tomorrow is this for you. My challenge is that each day you pray the Lord's Prayer. And going further, I challenge you to pray the Lord's Prayer when you wake up and when you lay down. And to go a little bit further, since we're in our homes, I challenge you to pray it with your family when you wake up and when you lay down. Let this prayer envelop you. Let this prayer give you peace. Let this prayer be your guidepost and your North Star as you live into this week to come, that you can see others through this prayer as Jesus wants us to. I'm used to giving an invitation right now, but I'll say this. I know that this is an uncertain time, and there's a lot going on. But I want you to know this. The shepherds, the staff, are praying for each of you daily. Anything you need, call. Any struggles you're having, call. The elders' phones are on. Justin and I's phones are on. We want to be here for you. But as you do that, let the Lord's Prayer and of peace during this time, when the world tells you to fear, lean on this prayer, lean on Jesus. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We're here for you. Anything you need.